ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
But we also need to make sure that Test cricket remains the pinnacle and your best players need to be out there whenever Test cricket is being played, and that every nation needs to be included when Test cricket is spoken about.
South African cricket coach Shukri Conrad. If you follow his logic, then it would probably make the World Test Championship final the pinnacle of the pinnacle. The Proteas are about to take on Australia in the race for the mace at Lords. And there are storylines galore. South Africa carry the weight of a drugs controversy and a reputation for faltering on the big stage. They've also defied relatively meagre resources and staged a remarkable campaign to make the final. For Australia, is Marnus Labuschagne set to open the batting? Will Cam Green return to the lineup even though he can't bowl? Oh, and how will Alex Carey and co be received by the hostile upper crust that is the Lords membership base post the Bairstow incident? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Ex-Australia fast bowler and former international coach Jason Gillespie is here to preview the World Test Championship final. Jace, there's much to consider and plenty of talk has centred on who could open the batting alongside Usman Khawaja. The veteran himself has hinted that Marnus Labuschagne could very much find himself there.
No, I think he's done it a lot. You know, he's opened before. He started off playing for Queensland opening. He's batted three. Much like myself, you bat three. I think the opening is an easier transition.
I wonder if you get the sense that while this game is huge for Australia, it's even bigger for Marnus. Could you argue in this match, he could be also fighting for his career?
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary, Pat. I think, you know, all the word is that Marnus will open the batting and partner Usman Khawaja at the top. The fact that it's a one-off test, I think, has probably made that easier or I suppose, you know, put it in favour of Marnus to open the batting over Sam Constance. But I think if this was a three-test series, I think Sam Constance would have come into really serious consideration instead of Marnus for this spot. But I think it's a World Test Championship final. We know the Australian selectors and Andrew McDonald in particular, that they favour experience.
Labuschagne on 48, Serrano is in now and he's driving as Labuschagne. He's found the gap and he's running hard for the first and he's coming back now for the second. And Labuschagne with a vitally important 50.
That's certainly the way they've gone in this case. And, you know, I fully suspect that Marnus will open the batting.
It means a shuffle to the batting order. Cam Green making his return, supposedly, we think anyway, at number three. That's a pretty hard relaunch to a career for a guy who spent a lot of time out through injury, but he has had tremendous form coming through county cricket. He won't bowl. Are you excited to see what Cam Green might be able to muster at number three?
Yeah, most certainly. And look, I'd say all the indications point to him batting three. They still may look to bat Steve Smith at three and slot Cam Green at four, but all the talk has been that Cam Green will just slot straight in at three. I think the fact that he's not bowling has probably forced Australia's hand regarding Constance. I think the batting order would have been kept simple. If Cam Green was bowling, I think that would have squeezed Bo Webster out and, you know, Cam Green could be put slightly down the order. They could have opened with Constance, bat Marnus at his usual spot at three. But I think the fact that Cam Green's not bowling and the fact that they're very keen for him to play, and rightly so. He's in fine form. He's a quality player.
Next delivery is driven beautifully past mid on, and that will be four runs. That is a pretty typical Cameron Green shot. He's such a strong driver of the ball.
I think that's kind of got them thinking, right, what is our best combination, our six best batters, what combination we go? And I think that's where the selectors have landed. But yeah, Cam Green will no doubt do a good job.
As you say, it sounds as though Bo Webster is going to remain in the top six batters. We know what an asset he is with the ball. How do you think that will shape or not the four bowlers, frontline bowlers, who are chosen to take on the South Africans?
Yep, so Bo Webster will either bat six or seven. It'll just depend whether they bat Alex Carey at six or seven. So I think that I'm not sure that really matters, to be perfectly honest. But certainly Australia like that fourth seam bowling option, which I think is the right call. So that's how Bo Webster's in the side.
Ready, moves in, and Webster gets one outside the off stump, thrashes it away through the covers. Will it get to the boundary for four? The crowd willing it on. He's back again, though. He's brought up a 50 on test debut.
that allows Australia to play their frontline spinner in Nathan Lyon. I think Nathan Lyon, in my opinion, plays in all conditions. You know, people talk about green seaming wickets and the like, but test matches last 5 days and you need to have a frontline spinner. And Nathan Lyon has shown time and time again over many, many years that he can bowl and have a real impact on any surface that's presented in world cricket.
Yeah, I think spin will play a big part, particularly as the game wears on. It is dry. I think the reports, obviously we only came here a week ago, but I think it's been pretty dry to start the season over here. There hasn't been too much rain, which can be rare for England, obviously. But it does look like quite a dry surface, and I think the footmarks will definitely come into play as the game wears on.
I think he balances the attack out really well. So, you know, fully expect to see the three out and out quicks, Bo Webster and Nathan Lyon play.
As a former member of the fast bowling cartel in your time, and you look at this particular cartel, does Josh Hazlewood seem like the sort of player fresh, you know, looking like he's fit after a pretty steady IPL campaign, who's going to have a big role to play on the slope at Lords?
Yeah, most certainly. There's been a lot of talk has been, does Josh Hazlewood play or does Scott Boland play? I personally think the discussion, I don't think it's even been a discussion. I think if Josh Hazlewood is fit, he plays.
Josh Hazlewood, seen what he's been able to do in recent times. He comes around the wicket and he clean bowls Shaquille. Shaquille beaten in consecutive deliveries. This one right on the stumps. Angled in, takes the top of off.
I think the selectors have been pretty consistent with that over the last couple of years. Scotty Boland's done nothing wrong. He's been fantastic whenever he's played for Australia. But we've got to remember, Josh Hazlewood's one of the all-time greats. This test cycle, I think he's got, you know, nearly 60 wickets at 19 in this World Test Championship cycle last couple of years. He's in fine form. Yes, he's had a couple of injury niggles, but he's a quality bowler. And, you know, and while Scotty Boland's done nothing wrong, unfortunately, four out-and-out quicks doesn't go into three. So someone has to miss out. And unfortunately, that'll likely be Scott Boland.
The subplot around this game is actually kind of related to Australia and England's rivalry, not Australia and South Africa. And that's because this is the first time Australia is back in a test capacity at Lord's. Do you think that that's going to play a factor at all, given the wild scenes we saw with Johnny Bairstow being stumped by Alex Carey during that infamous Ashes series just a couple of years ago?
Pat, I think we know the English crowds will be a little bit of banter there for sure, but I think it'll be a water off a duck's back in terms of the Australians, in particular Alex Carey. Don't expect too many issues. I know the MCC were pretty disappointed with some of the members around that incident back in 2023. Don't expect any real issues there. But yeah, let's not forget that the English are very good at giving it to the Aussies, a bit of banter. I know that firsthand, standing at fine leg and copping a spray from the crowd. But generally, the English, it's all in good nature and good banter, and I'm sure that's what it will be.
If we're talking controversy from a South Africa standpoint, it's focused on Kagiso Rabada. We know that his illicit drugs ban or sanction was essentially shortened, which has allowed him to turn out for the Proteas in what is a massive clash. We know that he's crucial to their fast bowling lineup. I was intrigued to see Tim Payne at the time, former Australian test captain, deride that move.
If you've got a professional sportsman, Brent, who is tested positive for drugs, recreational drugs albeit, during a tournament in which he's playing is, that doesn't fall under personal issues for me. That falls under you've broken the contract that you've signed up for. That is not a personal issue.
How do you think the Australian contingent will be feeling about Rabada taking his place for the World Test Championship final?
Oh, look, I think the Australians are just, they'll be focusing on how to combat him. They know he's playing, so there's no point questioning it or talking about it. He's served his ban. You know, the processes have been done. So I think from an Australian point of view, they'll just be focusing on what we need to do. We'll do our research on Rabada. I mean, he's a fine bowler, isn't he? You know, over 300 test wickets, a strike rate of around 40 or even less, which is quite extraordinary, to be honest.
Bottom, clean him up completely. Pitch further up, Kagiso Rabada is on fire.
He's a fine bowler. You know, the Australians will be doing their homework on how best to negate his impact, because he's very impactful for the South Africans. I mean, getting a wicket every 6 to 7 overs, that's a real impact bowler. And Australia are going to have to come up with some solutions to negate his influence, that's for sure.
Another point of conjecture from a South African point of view has been their ongoing struggles on the big stage at ICC events. It's often not even in the finals where they've stumbled, it's been the semis. We even heard their coach, Shukri Conrad, saying this group doesn't deserve to carry the weight of the Chokers tag.
I'm not sure if any of our guys were born in 98 even. You know, it doesn't weigh heavy on us. I think it's unfair to burden this group with anything that's gone before. We know we want to and we need to win another ICC event. But whatever tags come along, we don't wear that.
The fact, though, that he has to even give voice to something like that, is that an indication that it might be weighing on South Africa for this game?
Oh, I think so. For that very reason that you mentioned. I mean, the coach has actually addressed it. So it's certainly on their minds. They've got the weight of expectation of a whole country that have been starved of trophy success in ICC tournaments. So there's no doubt that's a monkey on their back that they want to get off. Let's see what happens, but it's going to be a tricky one for them. That internal, I suppose, expectations that they maybe set themselves. I think if they just stick to their processes of what they've done the last couple of years, because South Africa have played some really good cricket. I know there's been some criticism of the World Test Championship and some teams have played a lot more than others and the like, but South Africa fully deserve to be there. They've played some wonderful cricket and, I suppose for them to give themselves the best chance to play well against Australia, they need to shut out the outside noise, not look at the end result, just focus on their absolute processes on what allows them to play the best cricket they can play, and that'll give themselves the best chance to have some success in this game.
I'm going to need a prediction from you, Diz. I know you've got great respect for this South African team, but I assume you're leaning towards Australia?
Look, I am leaning towards Australia. I think the experience that Australia have in big games and important games, and with the Australia's got more experienced side than South Africa. So that probably says to me that Australia have their noses in front, but the toss could be quite a factor because there's word that the Lord's surface is going to have some green grass on it, so it could have some sideways movement. But normally at Lord's, when there's a bit of green grass on it, it's more bounce and carry that is the main factors rather than the lateral movement. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I actually think that'll play into Australia's hands with the bowling attack and certainly with a bit of bounce. That will certainly help Nathan Lyon as well. So I certainly think Australia have got their noses in front, in my opinion.
Looms is an absolute corker. You can catch live coverage on the ABC Listen app. Every single ball, live and commercial free. Jason Gillespie, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, Pat. Thanks, mate.
Headlines. Big, big news out of Queensland where Billy Slater has rung the changes for Game 2 of Origin. Captain Daly Cherry-Evans has been dropped. Tom Dearden takes his place. Cam Munster takes the captaincy. Forwards Pat Carrigan and Jeremiah Nanai have gone to the bench. Kurt Capewell and Ruben Cotter start in the back row. Trent Loiero goes to lock. Kurt Mann is going to make his debut off the bench. And Ezra Mann is 18th man. Here's new skipper Cam Munster on his appointment.
Pretty emotional. If you asked me that question 5 years ago, everyone would have laughed in your face. So I think I've developed in a bit of a leadership role the last probably 3 or 4 years. Grown up a little bit. It's terrible circumstances with Chez. I'm really good close mates with him, so it's disappointing. Unfortunately, someone had to take the role, and pretty excited to lead these boys out on Wednesday night.
For the Blues, Stefano Yutoikamanu is in for the injured Mitch Barnett. Max King goes from bench to starter. In the AFL, a couple of new contracts. Luke Beveridge has been extended at the Dogs until the end of 2027. Essendon key defender Zach Reid is signed until the end of 2028. Australia's top swimmers are in Adelaide attempting to qualify for the World Champs, which are in Singapore in July. There's been a minor mystery in the women's 50-metre backstroke. Kelly McEwen was DQ'd in the heats for moving on the blocks. She appealed, was reinstated, and eventually won the event. She was circumspect about the matter.
I mean, I guess it's just the way that the cookie crumbles, but, I'm really happy to have had the chance to race tonight. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. What I've trained for, but like you said, I'm on the team, so I'm happy for that.
And did you catch Carlos Alcaraz celebrating his epic 5-set French Open title win over Jannik Sinner in the halls of Roland Garros with the ball kit? You can't see his smile because this is audio, but I assure you, it was about as broad as you'd expect given that reception. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SEN, Gloucestershire Cricket, Sports Central by DRM, Freddie Boycott on Twitter, Roland Garros and Channel 9 for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.